Lord, I don't really know what happened this week, frankly. You know, I try to be as honest with you as I know how to be, and I thought on Thursday that the Lord would have me to minister today on the subject walking in the Spirit and what walking in the Spirit really meant. But yesterday afternoon, while I was studying, I was praying, the Lord seemed to begin to lead me in another direction. And I was a little concerned about it. I said, Lord, did I miss you somewhere? What's going on here? And there was a song that kept coming to me. Just the verse of this song. He will fill your hearts to overflowing. As the Lord commanded you, bring your vessels, not a few. The little chorus that we sing. I couldn't get it out of my mind. And I began to think then about the story that chorus is about. Then the Lord began to speak to me, and He said, how would you expect people to walk in the Spirit if they were not first full of the Spirit? He said, you must be full of the Spirit if you're going to walk in the Spirit. And so He said, I want you to do something else. That was yesterday afternoon. Last night, I couldn't get this out of my mind. I woke up this morning, and it was over and over and over again, this particular passage of Scripture. So the Lord wants to speak to somebody today. I believe He wants to speak to all of you. Because you wouldn't be here today if the Lord didn't have something for you. You know, just going to church for the sake of going to church is a drag. And if any of you ever go to church just for the sake of going to church, don't waste your time. God's no fool. And He's no dummy. And He knows what's on the inside of your heart. And if you're going to church, any church, I don't care whether it's this one or any other one, only to look good, or only because it's the right thing to do, or only because it's a habit that you've formed, you'll not lay up any treasures in heaven with that kind of thing. When you come into the Lord's house, when you come under the Word of God, when you come into fellowship with God's people, there ought to be a benefit for you. There ought to be something there for you. And I believe, God, that there isn't anybody who's here in the service this morning who is here by accident or who has come in here and will walk out without receiving something from God. Not a single one of you. And if there is anybody who's here today who is putting in time wondering how long is the sermon going to be and when are we going to get out of here, you're in the wrong place today, brother. Because God wants to do something for you today. We sang the chorus earlier, fill my cup, Lord. And I just pray that every one of you that sang that chorus really meant it from down here. And weren't just singing it with your voice. Because if you meant it from down here, God will in fact by His Holy Spirit fill your cup to overflowing. Amen. Turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of 2 Kings. And we'll just see what the Lord wants us to have today, what he wants to share with us. The book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament, the 4th chapter. It's a story that we don't hear very often. It's a wonderful story about a miracle that God performed through one of His great Old Testament prophets, through the prophet Elisha. Now I think as we begin to read it, you'll see that it's a familiar story. But the Lord wants us to see something in the story for us here today. While you're finding that opening, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You that we can be sensitive enough to the leading of Your Spirit to allow You to direct us minute by minute, day by day. Thank You, Father, for showing us so many times that the plans and the ways of men are not as high as Your own ways. And I thank You, Father, for the message that's in this passage of Scripture today. I thank You, Father, for the power and the truth that's on Your Word. I thank You for the anointing that's upon Your Word. And that as it's declared this morning, Father, I thank You for the anointing that is on me and in me to declare the Word in power and in clarity. And I thank You, Father, for the assurance that's in my heart today that You would not have given us this passage of Scripture if You didn't have something very specific to say to Your family today. And if you didn't have something very specific that you wanted your children to hear. And so, Father, I acknowledge you as the power, you as the wisdom, and I just yield myself as a vessel unto you today, and asking you to speak through me by the power of your Holy Spirit, speaking words of joy and of love and of power and of truth. And I thank you, Father, that as the word goes forth, it will be prosperous in the thing for which you intended, and it will not return unto you void. I thank you for that assurance, Father, and I trust you to honor that which we're going to do in the name of Jesus. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4. Did everybody find it? Beginning to read at the first verse. This story is about the prophet Elijah, or Elisha rather, who was the follower of Elijah, and one of the miracles that God did through him. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. Okay, here's the situation. One of the wives of one of the prophets in Elisha's day had lost her husband. The prophet had died for some reason or another. We don't know what the reason was, but he was gone and he'd left some debts. And she had no money to pay the debt. She had a tremendous need in her life. She needed money to pay a debt that was owed. But she didn't have any wherewithal to pay it. So the creditors were coming to take her sons into bondage, into slavery, in payment of that debt. And so she came to the man of God, Elisha, and laid before him what the problem was. And she said, What can I do? And he said to her, What do you have? In the second verse, tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, The only thing I have is a pot of oil. And Elisha said, Send your sons out to all your neighbors. You go everywhere in their houses and gather all of the empty vessels that you can. Get all the empty pots that you can gather together. Go everywhere and get them all and bring them together into your house. Close the door and begin to pour the pot of oil that you have into those empty vessels. So she did. She did. Now, isn't it curious that she didn't say, Well, now, Elisha, that doesn't make any sense. I've only got one pot of oil. Surely the thought crossed her mind, How is my one pot of oil going to fill all these empty vessels? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. I'm going to send my sons all out in the town and bring in the empty vessels, and they're going to stay that empty because I only have one little pot of oil. But she had come to the man of God with a need. And the Lord had spoken to her through Elisha and said, Look, you just go get all these vessels and bring them in, and then you begin to pour. Now, most of us would have said, Well, now, if God is really going to multiply my oil, let him go ahead and multiply it, make the pot big and full, and then we'll go out and get the vessels and fill them. But that's not the way God works. God requires his people to come unto him with faith in his word, not faith in what they can see with their eye. Do you remember? A along the, or in the desert rather, when the 5,000 were there, and they were hungry, and they needed something to eat, and there wasn't any food. And one of the disciples came to Jesus and said, the only thing is there's a young boy here who has a lunch, and he's got a few loaves and a few fishes. And Jesus said, bring them to me. And as he took them, he broke them, and he gave thanks unto them and blessed them, thanking the Father. He told the disciples, have all the men sit down in companies of 50 apiece. And he gave thanks, and he broke the bread, and he began to dole it out. Now, did you ever wonder exactly how that took place? If it would have been you and I, we would have said, Father, I've got here two barley loaves. Now, you know I need about, let's see, half a loaf a person. Let's see, the average family number, there's about four here. Got 5,000 men, about four in a family, about 20,000 people. All right, half a loaf. I need 10,000 loaves. Father, here's two loaves of bread. Now, would you multiply this and give me 10,000 loaves? And expect God to give them a pile of 10,000 loaves. Isn't that the way we do it? Then once we had the 10,000 loaves and we could see them, then we tell the disciples, now take a loaf and just give a half to each person. That's not the way Jesus did it. He took the loaf he had. He gave thanks unto the Father and he blessed it. And he took a hunk off and he gave it to Peter and he said, go out there and feed that company. And he took another hunk off and he gave it to Andrew and he said, go out there and begin to feed down the left-hand side. And he took another piece and he gave it to Nathaniel and he said, now you go down along here, you begin to feed these ones here. And you know the most wonderful thing that happened as he did so? The loaf never gave out. And when Peter went down with his little piece of a loaf and he began to break off a piece for everybody that was in that first company of 50, do you know that that little piece of bread that he had in his hand fed 50 and their families? Because Peter had the faith and Nathaniel had the faith and Matthew had the faith and every one of those disciples had the faith to believe the Son of God that if I take a little bit of that and give it to him, there'll be enough more for the next one and the next one and the next one. And the Word of God says that he fed 5,000 men and their families. God is in the business of taking what little you have and multiplying it. There isn't any shortage in God. His treasury is not bankrupt. He's got more than you need. And he had more than this widow needed. She needed some money to pay her debt. She believed what God had spoken to her through the prophet. And so she sent her sons out. And they gathered all the vessels they could find. And they brought them into the house. That's not recorded there what the sons thought. They may have thought that that mama had gone wacko too. But she had God's word, and she was acting upon it. When the vessels all came in, she did as the man of God had told her to do, and she closed the door, and she began to pour. And she took that little cruse or that little pot of oil, and she began to pour into one pot, and when it was full, she said, son, take that pot and move it over there. Bring me another empty. And when he brought another empty, she filled that one. Move it over there with the full ones. And she filled them until they were all full. Now I want you to see something. In verse 6, and it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Now, what does it mean the oil stayed? It means the oil stopped flowing. When the vessels were completely full, when there was absolutely no more need, the supply of the oil ran out. But there was enough in that little pot to fill every vessel she had. Now, it's not recorded how many vessels she had because that's not the significant part of the story. It's not significant whether he took 2 ounces and multiplied it into 58 gallons. That's not what's significant. What is significant is that the power of God took what little bit she had and multiplied it to fill all that she would make available to God. And when it was all filled, the oil stopped flowing. Now there are probably about 8 or 10 different messages could be preached out of this particular passage of Scripture. It's a great and wonderful miracle of God. The same God that multiplied the widow's oil is the same God whose Spirit is present in this room right now, today, at 12:11 on this Sunday afternoon. The same Holy Spirit of God. I want you to know this now, because we don't see the Spirit of God, because we don't see the power of God, we don't realize, many of us, that the same God that multiplied the widow's oil is right here, right now, in this room. He's not across the street at the big church with a steeple on it. He's not up here in heaven riding around on the clouds. He is here. Did not Jesus say that where two or more are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst? How many of you know that the Holy Spirit of God is here this morning? He's right here in this room. He's right here. I want you to be aware of the presence of God. You are seated in the presence of Almighty God. As I'm standing here speaking to you this morning, Almighty God is in this place. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. Now, some of you have felt His presence. Some of you have sensed the presence of God this morning at various times during the service. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. But you may not have sensed the presence of God. You may not be aware of the presence of God. But God wants you to know that whether you are aware of His presence today or not aware of His presence today, you are seated in His presence. He's right here. Now, where the presence of the Lord is power available to fill your vessels to overflowing as well. You know, in the Old Testament, particularly in the Old Testament, all the way through the Bible, oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. If you'll read the 8th chapter of the book of Leviticus, God told Moses to take the horn of anointing oil and pour it over Aaron and all of the priests, and down upon their linen ephod and so on, to anoint him to be priest over Israel. And then in Samuel, in the first book of Samuel, and this one I want to read because it's so specific, it really will help me to make the point that I want to make. It has to do with the anointing of David. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit anointed the priests, the prophets, and the kings. The Holy Spirit did not come upon the common people. The Holy Spirit did not come upon the people of God, only the prophets, the priests, and the kings. If the Holy Spirit had been upon all of the children of Israel, the prophet's wife in the story we read this morning would not have had to come to Elisha. She'd have gone directly to God. But the Holy Spirit was not upon her. The Holy Spirit was on the prophet Elisha to minister as the man of God to God's people. That's why she went to him in the first place. God's anointing was upon his kings, his priests, and his prophets. Look here in the 16th chapter of the first book of Samuel. The story of the anointing of King David to be king over Israel by the prophet Samuel. And I want you to see how oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oil. Begin to read at 13. Well, we just read the one verse, I believe. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. When the prophet Samuel took the horn of oil in obedience to the word of God and poured it upon the head of the shepherd boy David, at that very moment the presence of the Spirit of God came upon that shepherd boy and transformed him from a shepherd boy into an anointed king over God's people. The anointing oil was a type of the Holy Spirit. It was an outward expression of what was happening on the inside of the shepherd boy David. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. All right, now I want you to see that the story about the filling of the oil into the vessels also has a type in the New Testament. So many places through the Scripture, the bodies of men and women are called vessels. If you'll turn with me to the book of Acts, there are many, but we'll just look at two or three verses here. The book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to Ananias, the disciple, before he went and laid hands upon Saul. It was after Saul had been converted, but before he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Jesus called Saul a vessel unto him. Over in the second book of Timothy, Paul's second letter to Timothy, if you'll turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So many places in the Word of God we see men and women referred to as vessels. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, this last reference, the fourth chapter, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul said, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. All right, the excellency of what power? What's he talking about? He's talking about the excellency of the power of the Spirit of God is in what kind of vessels? Earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. Out of what did God make Adam? Out of the earth, out of the dust of the earth, he made the man Adam. Paul said, in earthen vessels, in clay pots, in bodies made of dust from the earth, the power of God is. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the power may be of God and not of us. All right, now, if oil is a type of the Holy Spirit, if the vessel is a type of the believer, the man and woman, then what can we see in this story about the widow and her pot of oil? God wants to take His oil, His Holy Spirit, and fill your vessel with it. God wants to take of His Spirit and fill up your vessel. That's what it means to you, and that's what it means to me. In the book of Ephesians, Paul said very clearly in the fifth chapter, in the 18th verse, and this verse meant so much to me, and it's the one, frankly, that got me off dead center. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. People ask, what is the will of the Lord in this matter of the Holy Spirit? What is God's will? Well, here he declares what it is. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Okay, now what he's about to tell us is what the Lord's will is, isn't it? Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Get your vessel filled with the holy oil of God. Get your vessel filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Fill up this earthen body with the Holy Spirit of God. Present your vessel unto God and ask Him to fill it with His oil. That's what God wants us to see this morning. And He wants you also to know that He's got enough Holy Spirit to fill your vessel. If you've got a little vessel like this, If it's a six-year-old vessel and it only weighs 42 pounds soaking wet, God's got enough Holy Spirit to fill that to overflowing. If you've got a 400-pound vessel, we don't have anybody like that here this morning, do we? If you've got one like that, there is no shortage of the Holy Spirit of God. He has got enough of that Holy Spirit oil to fill that vessel too. It matters not what shape your vessel is, how big it is or how small it is. The will of the Lord is, and let there be no mistake about this. Just don't make any mistake about this. Now you may decide not to let God fill your vessel. I mean, that is purely your choice. To say, well, God, I don't want you to fill my vessel with your Holy Spirit. I'm not sure that I really want you to do that. That's your choice. I mean, you're free to do that. But God wants you to know what His will is, clearly. His will is that you be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but that ye be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord wants you to know this morning, I say to you as clearly as I know how, that it's your right to choose not to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but if you do, you have set yourself in opposition to the Lord. Because He said clearly, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be open. Yield. And when you are full, His Spirit will stop flowing, just like the oil was stayed that day. The more you bring to Him, the more you yield to Him, the more He'll fill you. There is no lack in His supply. There is only a lack in our willingness to bring a big enough vessel. If you don't have enough of the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life today, don't wonder about the inadequacy of the Spirit of God. Wonder about what is there that's in my vessel that's taken up so much space that God can't get any more oil in there. Now, there are a lot of Spirit-filled believers that are in that kind of situation today. They have received the filling of the Spirit. They have received the infilling and the whole mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But yet God has more of His Spirit that He wants to pour in you, but He can't get it in because you still got something in there that's taken up all the room. You understand what I'm saying to you this morning? If you want more of the Spirit of God, if you want more of the joy of the Lord, if you want more of the power of God, give Him a bigger vessel. Give Him a bigger pot. See, we're talking here about 42-pound pots and 400-pound pots. Now I want you to make the switch here to what I'm talking about in the Spirit. Give Him a bigger vessel. Get rid of that thing that you're holding on to, which is your own little private thing in here that you're holding back on God. Let go of that thing. Let it go out of there. And allow Him to come in and fill that empty place so that your vessel is full to overflowing with the mighty power of the Spirit of God. If this widow in this story had had more vessels, she'd have had more oil. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's true, isn't it? What does they say? You either say amen or oh me. Either way, it's true. Praise God. Now, there's something else that along the same line that I just want to share this with you. And I just pray this will minister to you. When you come before the Lord to be filled with His Spirit or to be more filled with His Spirit, it's important that you bring an empty vessel. It's important that you bring one that is empty so that you've got a place to receive the Spirit of God. Many of God's people are wanting to be filled with the Spirit of God, but they are so full of pride that there's no room for the Holy Spirit. If you bring a pot full of water and ask God to put oil in it, what's He going to do? He can't put any oil in a pot that's already full of water. He cannot fill your vessel with the Holy Spirit either if it's already filled with pride. If it's already filled with a high image of yourself, He can't fill it with the Holy Spirit. If your vessel is so full of doubt and unbelief, it's impossible for Him to fill it with the Holy Spirit. If your vessel is so full of doctrine and tradition, it's impossible for Him to fill it with the Holy Spirit because there isn't any room there. You must get rid of the pride, get rid of the doubt, get rid of the unbelief, get rid of the tradition, get rid of the doctrine, get rid of the high image of yourself. Fall upon your knees before the Lord and say, here's my empty vessel, Father. Fill it up with the power of your Spirit. That's what God wants to do to His people. That's the message that God wants you to have this morning. That's what is available to the people and the children of God. Now, some would say, okay, Vic, that's real good. And I believe that what you're preaching is out of the Bible. I believe it's the Word of God. I want my vessel to be empty of all of the garbage and the things that displease God. And I want to open my vessel so that I might receive all the oil that He has for me. But I don't know how to do it. I mean, I want to, but I don't know how. Well, it doesn't do any good if we want to and we don't know how. We're just as bad shape off as we were before, aren't we? We need to know how. Well, the best thing I know to do is to go to the Word of God. How did they do it back then? If it worked back then, it'll work today, won't it? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. James said that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. If you find out something about God, I guarantee you it'll be the same way tomorrow. If God teaches you something about Himself and about His ways today, you can bank on it that tomorrow it'll be the same way. And the next day it'll be the same way. And it's the only thing in this world and the next that will never change, and that is God. He is the changeless God. He's the same. So if it happened a certain way in the Bible, don't tell me that it doesn't happen that way today. Because if you do, then what you're saying is God's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, the Bible says He is. So if we want to know how to get our vessel filled today, then we need to look back and see, how did God fill them back then? How did He do it back in those days? Then if we follow the same rules, it's really not very complicated. If we follow the same rules, we get the same filling. Is that not right? Does that make sense to you? Okay, in the book of Acts, that's where all these folks got filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened there? Paul said over in Ephesians chapter 5, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The first time we know of anybody that was filled with the Holy Spirit, the first time that it's recorded in the gospel, in the New Testament, that anybody was filled with the Holy Spirit is in the book of Acts, the second chapter, on the day of Pentecost. And the men and women, 120 so odd of them, were gathered. We don't know exactly where they were, whether in the upper room or whether in the temple area or where they were, but they were gathered together waiting for what Jesus had promised just before He ascended. And He had promised in the first chapter of Acts in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of me. He said, don't you leave Jerusalem until the promise of the Father comes. And then in verse 5, He explained what the promise was. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He said, don't you leave from Jerusalem until you get your vessels filled up. Don't leave from Jerusalem until you get your supply of oil. If you don't have a supply of oil, then you're not going to be able to do the work that I've commissioned you to do. So I command you, don't leave from Jerusalem. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not many days hence, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. All right, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It means to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word says. And in Acts chapter 2, in the fourth verse, they were waiting there in the upper room, or wherever they happened to be, the 120. And the Scripture says that in the earlier verses there, that there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And after that, there appeared cloven tongues like a fire upon the top of each of them. And in verse 4 it says, they were all filled, oh good, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now here's a place where we can find out what's going on. It says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, if we want to know what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost, this ought to be a good verse, shouldn't it? It says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, well, what happened? They were filled with the Holy Ghost and oh my goodness. If only they hadn't done that. But you see what they did? They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Bring an empty vessel before the Lord. Let Him fill you with His holy oil. How do you get filled with the Holy Ghost? You come before Him, you ask Him to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. That's the Bible way. Now, there may be other ways. If there is, I don't know about it. There aren't any other ways in the Bible. That's the way they did it. If God is the same today, that's the way He's doing it today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Bring an empty vessel before the Lord. Throw out all the doubt. Throw out all the pride. Throw out all the doctrine. Throw out all of those things that take up room in a holy vessel, one that has been consecrated unto honor unto the Lord. He says, don't be filled with those things. Be filled with My Spirit. Open yourself and be filled with My Holy Spirit. That's the message of God for us today. Would you close your eyes, please? Father, we thank You that You do have an oil to fill our vessels with. Father, we thank You that there is no lack of supply of the oil of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, Father, that as big a vessel as we bring unto You, that You have enough Holy Spirit oil to fill it. And we thank You also, Father, that it's not necessary that we go through our Christian life without the power to do Your work. It's not necessary that we go through the Christian life without having victory over sin. It's not necessary that we go through the Christian life going from one struggle to the next without the power to be set free. It's not necessary that we go through the Christian life without the ability to share the wonderful good news and the joy of God with others. But that You have made provision, if we'll just be willing to come unto You, that You have made provision to give us that which we need. And in the very way, Father, that You anointed David to be king. And one day he was a shepherd boy, and the next day he was king over all of God's people, because he had received the anointing of God. And because You anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And we acknowledge, Father, that that anointing came upon Him the day He went into the river, and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God descended upon Him in bodily shape, in the form of a dove. And He went forth ministering for You, with power over the devil, with power over sickness and disease, with victory over sin, and with a message that set people free. And if we take those men as our examples, Lord, since You're the same today and never change, and since You're here among us today, just as You were there at the river when Jesus was baptized, and at Jesse's house when David was anointed, and in the widow's house as the oil was poured out, You're here today. You're the same God. You will fill every vessel today to overflowing that is open to You, that desires to be filled, that desires to receive the fullness of Your Spirit. I thank You, Father, that Your word is true, that if we will bring that empty vessel, that You will fill us to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and with power, and that we'll have the power not just to be bold, but to be effective.